Chapter 28, Green Party. Yes, this is relevant to RuneScape. This is not satire. We're still getting serious. The book's now moving into theory instead of stories. And this is the first chapter of that. So let's first get into the usual publicly atone. So December 2025, I joined a new enemy because my gay CCC friends thought it was still a good idea that I wanted to be gay with them. I started on in German in October 2025 in preparation for the 2025 Chaos Communication Congress in Hamburg, Germany. It's an extremely left-wing computing conference, like computing and technology. My exact precise method of learning German was what my good friends called brute force Deutschgelernen when I described it to him. It's self a joke, although because he didn't think I understood that gelernen is not a valid word. I digress. Anyway, yeah, I was smiling, but, well, that method of learning was basically an extreme simulation of the total immersion technique. People learn languages faster when suddenly thrown into a foreign country, living and working there. I simply watched German TV shows all day, and one of my main stress test materials, for example, was the Bundestagssitzungen. That is, I watched the political debates in the German Bundestag, which is equivalent to the British House of Commons. My German comrade from CCC very much approved. The other aspect of my German learning was talking to ChatGPT, and also real Germans, when possible, in German, verbally, whenever time allowed it. I loved watching Bundesneunzig die Grünen when they came on in the Bundestag debates. That's the German Green Party. The long and short of it is that they seemed to be the most intelligent and wise people in the room, given Germany's unique problems, especially the then current trend of deindustrialization by proxy as a result of the boom in various, well, learn German politics if you want. I looked at the British Green Party, and I found that they sound basically exactly the same. They just didn't have the funny accents. So I decided purely on a whim just to join the Green Party. So yeah, in 2020, as I write this in 2026, yeah, I'm a member of the Green Party of England and Wales. So the purpose of this book, though, is not to talk about political ideology per se, although, yes, I used to be a conservative. I also used to be a communist. Before that, I was in the Labour Party. Where on earth will I go next? I just seem to keep changing. Or have I? I still think the same as before. My mind is exactly the same now as it was when I was in the Conservative Party, same for the Communist Party and even the Labour Party. I still hold all of the opinions that I had back then. They still make sense, as does the ideology of the Green Party. How is that possible, you ask? Well, the Green Party of England and Wales is a social democratic party focusing on environmental issues. It wants to create a country where people can live in dignity and prosperity in a fair society where the most vulnerable are protected. And it wants to do all of that in a way that doesn't destroy the planet. It wants environmentally sustainable left-wing politics. Yes, how nice. Sign me up. I was never really a conservative. I sympathise with aspects of conservatism even now, but I don't think their worldview is really that useful. I mean, it's beautiful in theory to let everyone have, you know, economic freedom this, property rights that, free markets this. Well, guess what? You know, profit sometimes means people get screwed. A lot of people need things that would be useful and are not profitable. Conservatives don't generally tend to be that compassionate about people. You know, just like systematically. Most of the conservatives that I met just seems to be like thoroughly deluded. Like they did well in life and they want to keep going and they think that the world that they lived in like, you know, the 70s and 80s still exists now. No, I'm not going to get into that. As I said, this chapter is not necessarily about politics. It's about my mind with regards to politics. As the next chapter we'll discuss, I don't generally tend to think emotionally about things. I just use logic. A lot of people in the past told me that it's quite jarring to watch how quickly I would just change my mind, how I'd just seemingly change everything all at once, just seemingly on a dime. I still think fondly of some of my former Conservative Party colleagues, because there were actually a few intelligent people in there, same for the Labour Party. I would even say the same thing about some of my former communist colleagues, if you can even call them colleagues, when all I did was get drunk at their 2018 executive committee meeting. I'm able to put myself in the mind of almost any political ideology, even the most extreme ones, and I know exactly how someone came to that conclusion. Of course, I wouldn't join, you know, a far right party, for example, because I don't want to die. I don't want other people to die. You know, far right politics always singles out single groups of people. You know, it just condemns people to death. It scapegoats them. It just generally, whenever it comes into power, it just makes life a misery for everyone. In history, they've always singled out people like me first as well. In the Third Reich, for example, it was the LGBT people who first suffered. Magnus Hirschfeld's Institute for Sexual Wissenschaft was the first gender clinic in the world offering trans medical care in the Weimar Republic. And the Nazis turned it into a propaganda center when they first took over. Now, history rarely talks about about LGBT people under the Nazis, but it's true. And homosexuality was only legalized in Germany after the 1990 reunification. Many gay people continued to be locked up after World War II ended. I do understand fascists, though. I know how they think. I know how they exploit grievance, how they attack education, and warp reality to suit their reactionary policies, how they scapegoat people. I know all of that. Fascists are stupid, and no one should ever take them seriously, but I do understand them. You know, they just cause misery, and there's always a mess after they're gone that someone else has to clean up. You know, I'd never support them because they want to kill me. My politics are based on the times that I live in. So, like, in 2022, I thought it might be possible to have a properly conservative government focusing on enterprise as a means of human growth. And, yeah, just, like, I supported Liz Truss, for example. The only reason I didn't vote for her is because I'd only been a member of the Conservative Party for 2 months at that point, whereas I needed to have been a member for 3 months. Their kind of politics can work when implemented properly, but the way the British state works just makes it impossible. Like, to the extent that their solutions actually just end up destroying everything for no benefit whatsoever, because, like, the very systems that they want to overhaul and make, quote-unquote, more efficient, they just stay in place, you know, they just defund. All they really end up doing when they're in power is they just defund everything. I also generally became disillusioned when they just started showing how incompetent they truly were after Liz Truss was booted out. You know, most of my colleagues in my local Conservative Party, they were just really stupid people, like, just out of touch. Just not worth my time. And I learned that while I was there. The Green Party was at the time of writing this book, at least in my opinion, the only British political party capable of championing massive investment in industry and infrastructure in a way that actually makes sense. They had a very sensible policy on taxation, especially the idea of taxing wealth, for example. They wanted to reverse the massive privatization of public services from past decades and democratize everything. They want to invest properly in people, and I believe that their plans would just generally boost business as well. You know, it's got nothing to do with people in the way I look at it. You will note, you'll see that in what I'm writing, I don't talk about people. I don't necessarily lack care for people, but I view politics from a largely infrastructural lens. Infrastructure. To me, people are numbers on a balance sheet. You know, I only care about the money. People will live and do business as they want to, but you need to have a sensible set of national policies to guide them. And I think the Greens are just what we need. Green parties worldwide more generally, or at least the core of their policies, especially on climate. The world is, as this book was written, on the verge of total collapse. Like, food systems in the global south have been degrading for years due to rising temperatures. The effects of climate change means that vast swathes of the world population will start to move north, and this is going to have a huge humanity. This is going to cause the biggest humanitarian crisis in human history, gradually over the course of decades. This is going to have a huge effect on the north, which includes the UK. The UK is in the northern part of the world. So yeah, you know, I switched. I snapped out of the spell, mostly a trauma response from COVID, and I kissed conservatism goodbye. I mean, it might be that in the future, when all of our problems are solved and, you know, we're living in, like, paradise, we can have conservatives again. But right now, countries everywhere need to spend a lot of money on everything and on everyone to deal with the coming crises. Mostly humanitarian, as I've just alluded to. It's the left-wing parties that spend money. They're the ones that are going to spend money on infrastructure. You know, they're the ones that care about people. And I'm not going to keep going on. Politics. How boring. Now we get to the what actually matters for this chapter. I went to the regional Green Party conference for the southeast of England in 2026. There was a lot of really interesting people there, including people like Natalie Bennett. There was a lot of talks about election campaign strategies. There was one very interesting talk about race politics and how racial bias generally affects minority rights, all sorts of things. I found it really interesting, but it was just mostly boring. I usually find conferences boring anyway. Like, a lot of my friends, like, a lot of my colleagues from the party were there. You know, I met several new ones at the conference as well. A lot of people have been joining the Green Party, at least as I write this book. They feel, here's the thing, and this is where we get to the point of the chapter. They my colleagues, they feel this stuff. They feel this in their body, like this actually matters at a deep, like personal level. Like they feel it. All I see is the money. And I just think, the only thing I think is that the Green Party, at this time, at least as I write this book, they'll just be the most competent people in office. They'll just be the most financially competent. I thought then that if the Green Party won in a general election, they'd put policies in place on a scale identical to the Labour government of the late 1940s. I think that would be good. That's what we need. That Labour government implemented the National Health Service, the welfare state. They started a massive campaign of house building, especially council housing. They invested in industry everywhere. They introduced all kinds of new legislation that generally aimed to increase equality in society. They took a broken, bankrupt country. Yes, Britain was broken after World War II, and within a few years left such a legacy that led to some of the highest living standards in British history. When people think of the good old days, like the 50s or 60s and going on, you know, like 70s and 80s, I mean, yeah, we had problems back then, but a lot of people remember how good it was, you know, how everything was just getting so much better and better for decades. They forget about Attlee's legacy, and they forget about the trade unions that drove a lot of that as well. The Labour Party today is no longer that party. Here's the thing, though. When I hear about left-wing politics talk about poverty and despair, mass hunger, general inequality in society, I agree with it, but there's one little nuance with me. I don't agree with it on an emotional level because I don't feel it on an emotional level. I agree with it because it just makes sense. It makes logical sense to make sure that everyone's taken care of, that the most vulnerable in society are protected, and that the planet we live on remains a nice place to live. That's why I also support action on climate change. I believe these things because I'm a human being living on planet Earth. I will become sick one day, or crippled, or both, and I will become old. I want to live in a world that will support me, no matter what, and that's why I became left-wing again. It's all about me. I will care for others, and I'll do what I can in, you know, my limited capacity to help bring about this kind of world, a fair world, a just world for people, because I'm people. It really is that simple. Of course, I was really bored that day, and I had to play nice with colleagues all day when I went to the conference. I actually dislike being around people in general, and conferences always drain me by the end of the day. After I'm done smiling, laughing at jokes, eating, being nice to everyone all day, I just come home and I sink into my chair. You know, I did meet a lovely lady at a bar there when she voted for me. She was a little bit drunk. I'm not going to get into that. I'd recently come fourth in a local local council election, and like we were just all like drinking and. I wasn't. I just had Coke. I don't drink. I don't do alcohol anymore. It can be really exhausting. When I show up to your leafleting stall, deliver leaflets for you, talk to voters, write articles for you, generally work for you, that's all it is. You know, it's work. I don't naturally smile, but politicians are supposed to smile, so I do. I will come to your social. I'll come to your social. You know, at a local pub. I'll not drink with you. As I said, I'll just enjoy my cola. And just sit meekly as I listen to you. I may offer some insights into a campaign or something, but I will not fundamentally enjoy talking to you. I'm all business. You know, my face goes blank when it's out of view. I go back to my lovely, perfectly neutral world, which I'll have a lot more to say about in the next chapter. I like my world. This is, you know, heaven. It's just me. A lot of people find this alien, at least people who are politically aware. I literally do not have emotional experiences with politics, despite being deeply political. I can hear stories about child poverty in London, which rose by several factors in London when the Conservatives were last in office, at least as I write this. And all I see is the numbers. You know, all I see is money. I see departments, offices, infrastructure and technology. I see the apparatus of the state, and I think about how it can be made most efficient, how more money can be spent on everything to help people, because it makes sense, because I'm people. I can still sit with members from other political parties and see them all in similar terms. I can chat with them, I can laugh with them, I can generally have a good time. I can put myself in their minds and I can understand them. I can understand all of them. The difference with me is that I don't hold opinions, I assume them. I'm capable of holding multiple conflicting opinions about a topic and just pick one. Political dogma is otherwise a stream of plain text. You know, all the politicians that I meet from every political party sound the same to me at an emotional level, even if I know intellectually that their ideologies could not be more different. I can look at them and see that they're basically just like variations on a theme. This will sound strange to a lot of people who hear this, but I find it fascinating that people can look at the same world with the same facts and arbitrarily limit their minds to one world view. I'm not like that at all. I see the world. You know, I understand all of it. People, politics is just people, you know, and I'm good at learning what people think. The next chapter will explain this. My conscience is adaptable, and politics is simply an extension of one's own conscience. So my politics are adaptable. I adapt with the world around me. I'm not bound, like many people are, to one way of thinking. If I find something better, I will replace you.